This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Smith, and most of us have had to let go of something, either in our personal or professional lives, whether it was letting go of a bad relationship, or children, or parents, or a valued employee, or even a failed business, and even a part of ourselves. Well, I'm so fortunate to work for a woman who is in the office next to me. She's had a lot of letting go to do. Some were out of her control, like the death of her father on her fifth birthday in a car accident, and then again her brother as a young adult. Other times, letting go was her choice. Professionally, she's built a multi-million dollar business, which always means losing money somewhere along the way, business relationships, and all those other trials and tribulations that go along with owning your own business. She joins me today to talk about the difficulty of letting go, as well as the tremendous value we can gain from it. Please welcome my guest, my boss, my mentor, and office mate, founder and CEO of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey.
How fun is this, right?
I love that we get to do this today. I'm so lucky.
Me too.
So I mentioned that you suffered a tremendous loss in the death of your father on your fifth birthday, and then again your brother in your 20s. And those are different types of letting go for those two time periods in your life. So as a child, and then of course as a young adult. So can you tell us the impact each of those losses had on your life and the process you took to let go of the pain and move on?
You know, it's a powerful question for me, Phyllis, because when I think about how I managed losing my father from a five-year-old's mindset, right, I think, you know, the thing that I noticed most was that I felt embarrassed that I didn't have a dad. I would have loved to have had even a weekend dad, but just to not have that dad. I remember very clearly that there was a father-daughter event at my elementary school, and not having a dad to take me. And my mother had asked my uncle if he could take me, and he was not going to be in town, and so I didn't go. And I just remembered that I didn't go. And I felt sad, and I felt embarrassed. I didn't want people to know that I didn't have a dad for a long time. And then there was a roller skating rink up the street, and there was a gentleman that was there, and he was the man with the whistle that always skated backwards to make sure that everybody stayed in alignment, or if, you know, one of the kids fell, to pick him or her up. And I became a competitive skater. A lot of people don't know that.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, and one of the things that attracted me to that was that this man looked exactly like my father. And I fantasized. He ended up being deaf. And I fantasized that he was my dad that was in the car accident that had gotten hurt and was ashamed for us to see him. Now, here's the ironic thing about it, Phyllis, is that probably 30 years later, my oldest brother was over at my mom's house. We happened to be there. We were in the kitchen, sitting and talking, and somehow this subject came up somehow. And I said, I want to have a confession. Let me tell you why I really got into skating. And my brother started to finish my sentences when I started to talk about this man. And he said to me, "Sis, I thought the same thing." Here we were, brother and sister, not talking about it. And I think I look back and it just speaks to the yearning, how much we wanted individually to have a father, and what we had seen in this man and how he fulfilled at a fantasy level this sense of that caused us to literally go and skate as often as we could. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How long did that go on?
Oh, years. I mean, I was a competitive skater until I was probably about 12, I want to say, something like that. By that time, my mother was remarried, and I was moving on into my teen years and had new interests and just didn't want to dedicate the time that it took to stay competitive. And I was moving into diving. I then picked up diving, and I became a diver. It's interesting. How it's impacted me as an adult as I look back is I saw my mother suffer for so long just in the loneliness and struggle in terms of taking care of us kids on her own. And I remember without her saying it, I think I just started this internal dialogue and message that I'll never not be able to take care of myself. I'll never not be able to provide for me and should I ever have, you know, a family. I'll tell you something. I turned 16 years old on February 21st, 1976. That day I went out and got a job, and I have never not worked a day in my life since. I have just always had a job ever since. And I've been able to. I've been fortunate enough to be married and be in a situation where I didn't have to work. I just have never not worked. I've never been comfortable not being able to provide for myself. And when I saw my brother at his funeral, he was killed instantly in a car accident. They didn't even take him to the hospital. He went straight to the morgue and subsequently straight to the funeral home. And we didn't have a viewing because of primarily the damage to his body. And my mother was in such shock, and we're such a small family. We went to the funeral home and had a private family-only viewing right before we went to the church for Mass, and I saw my brother there, and I remember very clearly, he was 27, I was 26, we were 13 months apart, and I remember then, you know, a message that said to me, you gotta go for it. You know, don't wait. You just never know. My brother died on a Friday night, actually a Saturday morning, like around 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's when we were notified, so it was probably around 2 in the morning was the accident. And that Friday, he called me, and we spoke for about an hour, and he had just received an offer for the job of his dreams. It was with DEC, Digital Equipment Company. They're not even around anymore. But what was amazing about that story is that we talked about his dreams and what he hoped for, what his wishes were. And little did either one of us know that, you know, in a matter of hours, you know, his life would be over. And it really taught me something about not hesitating. And when you want something, go after it. Go after it in a big way. Give it your all, because you just don't know when circumstances will change.
So when something so profoundly tragic happens, like what happened with you, do you ever really let go, or is a letting go, is it, what are you letting go of? Because in order to move on,
yes,
You have to let go of some component of that.
Yeah, well, let me just say that when my brother died, I was angry. He had a heart condition. He had gone through 2 open heart surgeries. He suffered as a young boy. And I was raised in a house that was therefore all about being quiet, being cautious, you know, being careful how we played with Ricky so that he wouldn't get hurt and that kind of thing. So a lot of messages about not taking risk, about playing things safe, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of messages around that. Mm-hmm. And when he died, I was so angry because I was like, this is a man, a young man, a boy, a kid, my brother, who fought so hard to live and was just getting into that prime of his life in terms of what he really wanted. After not being able to play football in high school, and although he played tennis, much to my mother's chagrin, and much to, I mean, she was so unsupportive of that, not because she didn't want him to play, she didn't want him to get hurt, she was afraid one of those tennis balls would hit him in the chest or whatever. And I remember my brother being very angry and saying, I might as well be dead if you're not going to let me live. You know? And so she acquiesced and she let him, but she was a nervous wreck the entire time. You know, and what I can tell you is that I was so angry when Ricky died, and I remember not being able to afford at 26 years old to go to counseling. So I went to my church. I went to the priest, and I just was like, "Tell me why this has happened. I mean, this just makes no sense to me." And he said something to me that's fundamentally changed my life, and I don't even think he knew. It wasn't even like I had an aha moment at the time. I had to percolate on it. You know what I mean? I just had to let it kind of settle. It was like a slow syrup that was just had to like totally gradually, you know, kind of had to swallow the thought and let it go down into my heart, you know, and to really understand what it meant. And he said, "Sandra, I can't give you the reason why your brother was chosen to go home. I can't tell you what that reason is. And I can't help you with the pain until you're willing to help yourself with the pain. And right now, I don't think you want to hear anything. You're just so angry. So let me leave you with this. Let me ask you this question to ponder." He said, "Would you have rather have never had your brother in your life so that you would never have to experience this pain? Or would you have rather have had him for the 26 years that you did and have all that you were able to get from that life and that relationship and to experience the pain that you have now?" And I really had to think about that. And I've thought about that in a lot of other losses that I've had, you know, in different ways. To have rather, I would have never given up the 26 years that I had with Rick and the years and the memories that I have to have avoided the pain. I'd rather deal with the pain. And I, most of the time, you know, most of the time I don't think about the pain as much. But I know that when my mother got sick a couple of years ago, and it was Rick's anniversary in August that he died, I wrote him a letter. I actually published the letter on my Facebook page. And I just said, "Dear Ricky, I miss you. I miss you so much. I miss you, you know, calling me on my birthday and singing happy birthday to me with a voice that's as tone deaf as my own. I miss you sitting next to you on the table where you would, you know, put your elbows on the table and forever cram me into the wall because I was against the wall, you know what I mean? And I would always like, move over. You're taking up too much space, you know. I miss being aggravated at that. You know, I miss having a crazy idea of something that I wanted to do and he would have that Scooby-Doo voice and he'd go, "Rot a rock." You know, I miss that. And I said, "But I also miss that you're not here as my big brother to help me bounce off ideas and make big decisions now that Mom is so ill. So most of all, I just miss you. I'm thankful for what we had, and I miss you still."
So you don't really let go of, you let go, like you let go of the anger.
Yes.
You don't let go of the memory.
Right. Yeah.
But you move, how do you move on from that? So you what know, was it that...
I think for me, it was about just taking the lessons. I mean, I keep them alive. I talk about them to my kids. I'll never forget my daughter she's married now, and she was in elementary school, and they had a writing assignment, and the teacher gave them kind of a subject, something that they needed to write about. And the subject was, imagine, this is back in payphone days, right? Imagine that you have a quarter and there is a payphone. You need some help. Who would you call and why? What is the scenario? Who would you call and why? Isn't that interesting? And so you can only imagine what the kids would say. And I kept the paper. Brianna's paper was about that she was her help was that she really wanted to know the uncle that she never met. And she wanted help on how she could talk to Ricky. And so she took her quarter and she went to the payphone and she called God.
Wow.
And she asked God if he would grant her having one conversation with the uncle that she never knew. And he said yes, and she had a conversation with Rick, and she talked about, you know, her uncle Ricky.
Mm.
You know, it was a very powerful thing for me to see how, you know, just in the silly things that I would say, because I'll do the rata ruck to my kids,
yeah.
and they'll laugh at me, and I'll say, that comes from your uncle Ricky, you know, kind of thing, how they have had their curiosity.
It sounds to me, in a nutshell, that you fill up with the goodness, but you let go of those feelings that hold you back, that made you angry, that made you longing when you were a child for your father.
Right.
But you fill yourself up. You fill that vacuum with just the memories and the goodness and the fortune that you had, whatever experience you had with them.
And the lessons. I think what's important now as a woman, as an adult, is that I can be much more conscious about what are the lessons in this? What are the blessings in this?
Mm-hmm.
What are the opportunities for me to learn and be better? You know, when you're younger, you don't quite do that. But upon reflection, you see that it does happen over time anyway.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about letting go of children.
Mm.
Both of us have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
So right after this break, we're going to be with Sandra Yancey, the founder, CEO of eWomen Network, and learning about letting go of children and much more. And, of course, after that, we'll talk about business, all kinds of things you need to let go of in your business in order to succeed.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, host of eWomen Radio Network's Idea Success with Sylvia. Listen live Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to get your ideas, dreams, goals, and plans out of your head and into action for profit and purpose. I'll interview people who've taken their ideas and made them reality, uncovering successes, challenges, and the lessons they've learned in the process. We'll hear from experts who help you get unstuck and be in action as you or your team put your ideas in motion. I'll share insights on the systems I use with my clients to get things done in business and life. Join me Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern or later at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I am bursting at the seams to share great ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and to be your catalyst for turning your dreams into dollars and your ideas into income and impact. That's Idea Success with Sylvia, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back now, Phyllis Smith. This is Close Up, talking to Sandra Yancey, the founder, CEO of eWomen Network. And we just heard one incredible story about letting go of some tragedies that Sandra had in her life, losing her father and then her brother. So now we're going to move on to you're a parent. I'm a parent. I recently said so long to a part of my motherhood by sending my son off to college. There's an emptiness that I feel because the mothering I experienced for 20 years is gone.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled for my son. I probably would have killed him if he didn't go. But it's a part of my life I just love so dearly. I mean, I wanted to be a mother more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say goodbye to the last 18. You had to say goodbye to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The last 18 months, you said goodbye to your daughter, your son, your dog as well. But so let's talk about that. Your daughter gets married.
Yes. And it's an interesting thing. She's finished, graduated, and married. And I think those are all the things that we want for our kids, right? To be self-sufficient, to, find that partner that, really brings out the best in them that they can share their life with. And So all of those things are what I've always dreamt for her, you know, and how when it happened, I suddenly realized, I told Brianna, I said, I've always heard the word bittersweet, but I never really understood it until she was getting ready to get married. And I said, you know, what I was getting in touch with was how happy I was for her and how sad I was for me.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Bittersweet, yeah.
Right? And it was, I really struggled with that. Now you add to that that, you know, my son was getting ready to graduate from high school and move on, and the family dog suddenly got sick and died, and my mother fell critically ill, is now on dialysis, you know, 3 days a week and not doing well and just having to bring closure to her home and take on all of that responsibility. It was just a lot of closure and transition for me in the last year. And, you know, here's what I've learned, and that is that my tendency, you know, I've been criticized as, you know, seeing the silver lining in everything. I'm pretty optimistic, generally speaking. So much so that there are people that wonder if I've got, you know, 2 feet on the ground. You know what I mean? Because I just like to look for the positivity in things. I learned the importance of letting go by mourning. I think sometimes, at least I'll speak for myself, I wanted to skip. I felt guilty for feeling sad, you know, for something so wonderful, especially. It's like, you know, who do you tell that you're feeling really sad, that your daughter is, you know, completing her education, she's found the man of her dreams, she's ready to move on, and I mean, what's that about? What, you're sad? And yet I was. And what I realized is that in the spirit of me staying, you know, happy and being positive, I wasn't giving myself permission for the natural stages that you go through when you're letting go,
right?
You know, and so giving myself permission to cry and giving myself permission to share with people that wouldn't be in judgment of me, that weren't going to try to fix it, that would just listen to me, that would understand and allow me to mourn the loss of motherhood as I knew it. I knew that I was going to be embarking on a whole new wonderful, you know, season with my daughter, but I was still letting go and needing to mourn what was complete, you know. And, you know, we are a society, Phyllis, of rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, funerals, weddings, you know, all the celebrations, graduation parties, you know, your various different, you know, religious affiliations all has its share of celebrations, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever the case may be, right? We're all about graduations, parties, and celebrations, and closure, and rituals. And I think we sometimes don't give as much merit to the personal rituals that we need to go through.
You know, it's interesting. I just read this article that there's actually research done that people's, like research on cancer patients and that people survive longer, not by just dealing, I mean, hope, definitely,
sure.
Just using words of hope, but not just that emotion.
Yeah.
It's also emoting.
Yes.
It tapping into all of those emotions actually helps. And talked about, they actually researched that journaling is one way to help people cope and move on and let go.
And I'm a huge journaler. I have them everywhere. I mean, I have them in my glove box. I have it on my bedside. I have one in my travel bag. I have one on my desk, a couple of them on my desk. I mean, I've always been a journal. I have a mother-daughter journal.
Oh, you do have separate ones.
Yes.
I just have
them every place.
Yeah.
And I grab them, and I don't worry about them all being sequential, because I want it to have it, access to it whenever the need arises.
Right. You know, it's funny, when I took my son to school, I boohooed the whole...
Yeah, right.
I mean, bawling, right?
Right. I don't like where he's living.
And I'm like, stop me, I can't even
breathe.
So I did the practical thing,
Yes.
And I got a puppy.
There you go. There you go.
So that was my solution. New journal, I get a puppy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about business. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot of juicy things to talk about there, a lot of letting go. So stay tuned. On Close Up, we're going to talk more with Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to Close Up. I'm Phyllis Smith, and we're talking again with Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. And we've been talking about more personal things. Talk about your family, you're losing your father, your brother. Talking about, as a parent, letting go of motherhood,
mm-hmm.
the bittersweet of that. So I want to talk about business. So there's so many moving parts in a business.
Yes.
So give us some highlights. Maybe you pick one thing in particular, maybe a relationship that you might have had, a business relationship that you had to let go of. And let's talk about, if you can talk about that, and then what you did, how you did it.
Yeah, I think the reality is, in business, is that when you start out, some of the people that you surround yourself in the beginning aren't going to necessarily be the ones that are going to be with you in the long haul, particularly if they have a certain set of expertise and knowledge that you need right now for the immediate needs of the business. May not necessarily be the same needs. In fact, I'm going to tell you they aren't the same needs that you will need as you grow. I started out with a bookkeeper in the very beginning, and that was part-time, kind of coming in and doing my books every week. And then I realized I needed someone full-time. And then I realized that I really needed an accountant. And then I realized that I really needed a CPA. And then I realized I needed a controller. And here I am 15 years later, and now I have a vice president of finance. So there are some roles in the organization that will transition. And it's a hard one, particularly, I think, for women, let me just say. Not that men don't deal with this, but it's hard sometimes when someone has been incredibly dedicated and loyal. And, you know, the easy thing to say is that, well, you just create a different job for them. But sometimes those people aren't comfortable in a different job. Sometimes when you realize you need to bring somebody, if they've been kind of the chief of their department, the head of their department, and you need to bring someone in over them, they are less comfortable with that kind of scenario. So even with all of the best creative ideas for keeping someone, it's just hard to grow and stay so attached. You can hurt your company by staying so attached to the relationship as you've currently defined it. And what I've had to learn in some cases, and you know, I've had people that have been with me a long time. My assistant was, I think, the first actual employee I ever hired. The others, I had some partners. Very, very small partners. So Leanne was probably number 4. You know, I mean, Bridget's been with me, you know, 8, 9 years. Jen, Keith, I've got a lot of you know, it's kind of rare to have someone that started her, you know, home above a, you know, above a garage in a spare bedroom and have grown it to, you know, a global multi-million dollar enterprise and still have almost 50% of her team that's been with her this long. The company's only 15 years old. I didn't have employees for the first 3 years. So, but I have had to let go of people. Not because it's not performance related in terms of poor performance, it's that the business was growing faster than their capabilities and their skills. It's tough. I think the most important thing is, you know, to remember grace and to remember respect, to handle people lovingly and gently, to give them time, to look for ways to take care of them to the best degree that you can. But you do have an obligation as a business to your customers, and you have to ultimately do what's right for the customers if you plan on sustaining a successful business over time.
What about money? We have to have, when you're an entrepreneur, you have to have an interest, a different relationship with money and be able to let go to grow.
Yeah, that's a really hard one, I think, for any entrepreneurs. But I think women inherently, I do think that this is more of a nature even versus nurture. I mean, you don't have to be a mother, per se, having given birth to have just some of the inherent instincts that a woman has. And I think there is an element, a radar that we have about safety, right? And if you happen to be a mother, I mean, it just triggers in terms of safety for children. And a lot of times you don't even have to be a mother to understand that. You can be an aunt, you know, and a teacher, that kind of thing. Just that trigger of wanting to, you know, keep the children safe. I think that can play in our business, and we often can look at our business as a baby. I think that's probably a dysfunctional way to look at it. I think you have to be a little bit more detached, personally, than looking at it as your child, because then you are less likely to be unbiased. I mean, what mother isn't biased about her child, right? I mean, I had the most beautiful children on the planet, didn't you?
Yes. Mine are more beautiful than yours.
Exactly, right? And you have to be a little bit more unbiased with your business so that you can keep that objective eye. That's where the transformational opportunities to really grow your business, I think, come in. And plus, you're open to the critique of others to say, this is what's not working. This may have worked in the past. This isn't going to take you moving forward. I think you have to let go of, you know, being attached to your past successes. I mean, I can tell you this, even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you just sit there. You know, you're only as good as your past successes. And as you grow, the skills and knowledge that it took you to get to where you are now are not necessarily the same skills and knowledge that you need to move forward. So you have to be willing to kind of go back to zero again and be that infant in terms of that new stage in your business. So letting go of, you know, it's really easy to get attached to your past successes and think you know the answers. Having knowledge and knowing the answers are two very different things. So having the intellectual capital and the knowledge of, you know, your past and what that's guided you, I think is important, but you do need to be able to constantly be developing and learning not only skills and knowledge for your business, but understand how that's impacting you personally. I'm a huge proponent of always being in duality of acquiring new business skills and doing personal development as you transition your business. So, you know, taking risks in terms of finances are important. I mean, I have people all the time submitting to me, you know, proposals to be investors in their company. And I learned from the people that, you know, helped me, the questions they asked me. It's called R&D, rob and duplicate. I find that I replicate and repeat and duplicate the questions that were asked me. Do you have a line of credit? Do you have a business credit card? Have you gotten an SBA loan? What have you done to prove that you're all in your own business? And why would I want to invest if you haven't fully invested in yourself? And people that say to me, well, I'm trying to find others to help me. I just remember very clearly, you know, my attorney saying, you know, before you go out and solicit investors, you're going to be asked these questions. So, you know, you got to be able to put your own you know, credit on the line, your own name on the line. In the very beginning, I didn't have a company that was making enough to not warrant me guaranteeing my loans. I had to go get a line of credit. I had to go get an SBA loan. You know, I had to sign a lease in a building, right? I mean, it's kind of scary. It's still scary to me, so I'm just going to say that. I mean, fear isn't something that I'm saying you need to overcome. I'm saying you need to embrace it.
Face,
you know?
It.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a saying out there. Some people say that fear is feel everything and run, something like that. And I say it's feel everything and rise.
Mm.
You know, you got to rise to the occasion. And it really is an indicator of how much you believe in your own dream.
Yeah. You know, I was teaching yoga at this gym, and this it's a franchise.
Yes.
And they just bought this gym, this couple, their dream. They bought it in January. And this woman was struggling paying me, like, I don't know, $20 for once a week.
Right.
And she said to me, this is very personal. You know, you're taking money from my retirement. And I had this feeling like, that's sort of, you know, you're in business.
Right.
So she took it very personally, and
yeah.
And I felt like that was a red flag. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows how long you're going to last? How could you every day think every penny and every expense you're for your business is taking money out of your retirement? That
yeah.
is, you and so
that's the difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur. You know, I mean, and I do think so many of us, me included, come out of corporate America. And we have, you know, the very things that helped me be successful in corporate America, I didn't realize were the things that were dooming my business in the early days, you know. And it's a different mindset. I guess I just don't see things as an expense. As you well know, we're looking at, you know, my lease is up here on the floor. We're looking at expanding it yet again, knocking out walls, taking on new space on our floor, and putting in a television studio, a new studio where we'll be doing internet TV as we think about moving forward. I mean, you know, my lease is up. I've got to sign a new lease for the next 5 years. So I got to think about, where do I want to be in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Not just what I'm ready to do now, but where do I want to be in 5 years? And I have to be really clear in my, not only my strategy, but in my convictions. So that as we go through this, as you know, we've been looking at space and measuring things and working with the architects and all of that. And what I realize is that this is an investment in my future, not an expense.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean that I don't stop and say, as you and I have had conversations, how are we going to monetize this? You know, we're really clear about some of the things we need to do between now and the end of the year. We've got to have plans, you know, with hard plans for how we're going to generate the revenue, you know, so that it makes good business sense to have done it. But, you know, when you see everything as an expense and you take it so personal, that is a concern. But it also sometimes in the beginning, since they're at that beginning stage, that's also a natural passage that you go through.
What advice would you give to people who, say, they went into business and it ain't working.
Yeah.
And it just takes too much of a toll and they need to let go.
Yeah.
How do they do that? Or at what point would you recommend that they do know it's time? And then how do they do that?
Well, you know when it's time, when it just becomes so painful. I do think that, you know, entrepreneurialism is a matter of timing. And I will tell you, I remember very clearly, you know, being really broke in eWomen Network in the beginning. My kids were outside playing in the backyard. I was at the door with, you know, looking out, watching them while I was on the phone with my mother. And I remember telling my mother this crazy story. Talk about craziness. And nothing like talking to your mother to illuminate it for you as well. And I said to her, I said, I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm working, you know, 20, 21 hours a day. You know, I'm up before the kids are up. I get off to school. I come back. I work all day. They come back. I hurry up. I get homework done. I get dinner. They go get baths, get them to bed, and now I'm up again, kind of thing. And I'm just broke and I'm exhausted. And I remember saying to my mother, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get a job, and then I'm going to do eWomen Network on the side in the evenings. And my mother was like, now how many hours are you working now on eWomen Network? It's not working for you, and you think you're going to cut back and it's going to get better, kind of thing. And I said, she says, I'm not sure that's really the right answer. I'm not a businesswoman, but that doesn't add up to me, Sandra.
Right.
And she says, well, I also know you. You're not going to get a job. You're going to get a career. And the difference is about 20 hours, right, between the two.
Right.
And she said, you know, I just want to ask you one thing. And I said, what's that? And she said, how do you know you're not quitting 5 minutes before the miracle begins?
Mm. Ooh, hair on my neck, standing
right?
up. Yeah.
And I just went, I don't know that. And she said, well, then, honey, you can't quit. She said, I'm not saying don't quit. I'm just saying that if you quit, you need to know. And you will know. And if you don't know, then you can't quit. Because if you do, you will spend the rest of your life wondering what might have happened. And so what she was telling me is it's a knowing.
Mm.
It's a knowing. I mean, I'm telling you, Phyllis, I robbed Peter de Mugpaul. I did have the disconnect notice put on my doorknob in the front door for the electric company. You know, I was calling and saying, what's the least amount I have to pay to keep my lights on so that I could keep my phones on? I mean, I remember my daughter asking me when she was invited to go to Six Flags, an amusement park, you know, with her girlfriend, and I was ashamed to say, I can't give you the money to get into the amusement park, let alone the $100 to buy one drink which you're in, you know, how expensive it is. And, you know, creating this, oh, but we have a special day, and I didn't know what the special day, well, what is it? What are we going to do? Have you made your bed? You need to go upstairs and make your bed so I could think about what was my story. Mm-hmm. And then going in my pantry and just looking, staring in my pantry and seeing this box, you know, up on the top shelf that had old birthday supplies, and pulling that box down and seeing the inside I had leftover balloons and going, oh, she loves water balloons, and going out and getting the cooler in the garage, and she comes downstairs and there I am filling water balloons. Mm. And I said, I plan on a water balloon fight. You know?
Well, that's pulling that one.
Right? And and saying, I got to go make time for a couple of hours to the park or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when she turned 18 years old and she was graduating from National Charity League, it's a mother-daughter program for 6 or 7 years and how you teach your children to give back to the community. And she had to pick 20 pictures, memorable moments. This will make me cry. Mm-hmm. Memorable moments of her life. Mm-hmm. You know, as she told her story in a minute, she had to tell her life story. And I was out of town. She was going through boxes of pictures, and she says, I got my pictures. I just want you to look at them real quick before I turn them in. And she brought them down, and I'm looking at them, and one of the photos that she picked was from that water balloon day.
Oh.
Here I was. I was so low.
Mm.
I was so ashamed that my business was struggling that I couldn't give my daughter. She doesn't even remember it was the same day she asked me if she could go with Emily to, you know, Six Flags, and I didn't have the money to give her.
Mm.
And in my lowest moment, unbeknownst to me, I gave my daughter one of her favorite memories. So you just never know.
Mm.
You just never know how you manage situations, right? Those are the silver linings. And you don't know, and success is, people say to me, how do you know, how do you define success? Today I define it as, for me personally, success is being able to say yes when I want to say yes and no when I want to say no. I don't care what it is. That's success for me. Mm-hmm. You know, yes if I want to do a vacation, you know, yes if I want to go have lunch with my daughter or son, you know, yes if I, you know, if I want to give a donation to charity, yes, whatever I want to, or no. Valuing my no as much as I value my yes is really important to me. But I can tell you, most importantly, success is often defined in the rearview mirror when you look at how you've impacted the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the real definition of success, to know that people have better memories and better moments because I have lived. That's success.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about friendships, letting go of friendships, people who are toxic in your life. And so is amazing. I'm just feel so fortunate that that I have you here.
Me too.
And this has been great so far. So one more, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Phyllis Smith, and you're listening to Close Up, as you just heard. And boy, we're getting into some deep stuff here with the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, Sandra Yancey. And moving into our final segment here, we've talked about letting go of tragedy in our lives. We've let go of things in our personal lives, our children, our business. So, friendships. People who are toxic people.
Right.
So we've all had to have a toxic person, but many of us hang on to them because we're afraid to let go.
Yeah.
So
the Debbie Downers and the energy vampires that just suck the life right out of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just learned very clearly that, someone said to me, and I've never forgotten it, and that is that you can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's not about either or. They're either in or they're out. Sometimes what we simply just need to do is create distance. You know, kind of give them a hug and, you know, just create a little bit more distance. I think our efforts to try to drag them along and convince them is often like reviving the dead. I mean, sometimes it's just not going to happen. And so what you can do, if you're close enough and you're comfortable enough, and I've done this, is say, listen, the last three or four times I've talked to you about this, what you are constantly doing and how I'm receiving you is that you're telling me about all the reasons why something won't work, all the things that will go wrong. What I really need from you now, I want you to know I hear you and I receive that, and what I need for you to know now is I've decided to move forward in spite of all of that. You've given me some good things to be thinking about and to pay attention to, but I'm moving forward, and now what I need from you is your support. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is a loved one, someone that you're married to, a significant other, becomes a little bit more challenging, and I would say sometimes you just have to be open to getting counseling. I'm just not above that. I'll be married 37 years, and Kim and I have been in counseling a couple of times in that time. I'm not ashamed of that. Sometimes problems are bigger than what the two of you can manage, you know, on your own, primarily if you get both stuck in your convictions, right? So having that third party will be helpful. If it's a girlfriend or something like that, then I would say it's about creating a little bit more distance, not making yourself so available, starting to give yourself permission to get new people in your life. I think a lot of times we get attached to people because we don't have anything better. And I think the reason why we don't have anything better is because we're so attached to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the universe can't grant you blessings like new people in your life if it knows you're unavailable and you have no space and time for that. So getting really clear about what's important to you. And sometimes it's better to have, you know, no relationship than a bad one.
How do you know the feeling that you get when you know that you've got to move on from somebody and you've just got to let go of them? I mean, at what point do you know it's time?
You know it's time when they call you on your cell phone and you immediately send it to voicemail.
Yeah.
You know it's time when you're getting ready to answer it, and before you do, you roll your eyes.
Mm.
You know it's time when you hang up and you're telling yourself, this is crazy, you know, and or you're noticing that your own energy has shifted And I'm telling you, negativity is as contagious as positivity. I mean, they're both equally contagious.
Yeah.
You just got to decide which one you want to get infected by.
Right.
You know, and so when you find that you're getting infected by negativity and you're buying into the doubt that they're placing, it's just telling you you need more space. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really you being in touch with yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes those people could do good things. I have a friend that I've had to let go of, and we didn't have a conversation.
Mm.
I just distanced myself from her, and every time she'd call, I'd be like, oh, God, she's calling again. And then if I had one conversation, then I'd get 85 texts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that over the line when they don't know when to stop.
Right.
And the feeling, I finally had an experience with her, and the feeling I got after that this time that I had, because she had done something to me that was just pushed one of my buttons, I felt so bad. I felt like nauseous afterwards.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I said, I don't want this. But don't you think, though, you have to know you're worth more?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sticking with somebody who's toxic, like who makes you feel bad, I think it's not about them. You have to ask yourself.
Yeah, what's going on with me that's allowing myself to subject myself to this kind of toxicity, right? No question about it. I, Phyllis, I mean, you and I are preaching to the choir here as we talk to each other because we're both so committed to personal growth. I mean, I invest more in my personal growth than anything else. Mm-hmm. Just constantly being aware of how I show up in the world. Because I do think that what you see in the world is what you be in the world, you know? And how you show up in the world has so much impact on what you attract. And as an entrepreneur, your business is a lot about what you've attracted. If you're in constant chaos, if you are in constant toxicity, if you are in constant disarray, if you are in constant stress, you have to know that you're attracting that. And that's the good news, because there's no one you can control more than yourself. And when you're willing to step out of that and say, how am I contributing, you will start to see that you have so much power in shifting it.
One final thought and then observation from me. One huge letting go you had to do was your husband and business partner.
Yes.
I mean, you're still married,
right,
very happily,
right,
but he has moved on to another position with another company, happy. And for the first time this summer at this conference, you were on stage by yourself.
Totally by myself.
And boy, take us through what that was like, letting go of what was for 15 or 14 years before.
Right. Yeah.
And then suddenly you had to turn around, and this all happened pretty quick, within a few months.
Right, from March to August. You know, the interesting thing for me is that it wasn't as much the literally being alone on that stage. You know, I've been alone on a stage. It was the emotional and the figurative, you know, that I, as you know, redesigned the conference, introduced a whole new, you know, approach and way that I wanted the conference to go, introduced new things that I wanted. We did the live stream, invited the international community online. We just did a lot of things differently. So it felt high risk. We were talking about risk earlier. I mean, the results are in. Over 50% of the people that were registered for 2014 are already registered for 2015. So I know that's the highest percentage ever. So I know that we are on the right track. But it was, I was really aware, and it was a little bit of a mourning, I must say. I had my teary moments. You know, by the time the conference came, I was stepping into my power. Mm-hmm. I was really clear. And I felt that for the audience that had a history with me, that it was important in that morning session that I put a punctuation, literally, to Kim's role in eWomen Network and in the conference by acknowledging him, you know, praising him for his contribution, and being clear with everyone that things had come to a change. So it was hard. I'd be lying to say otherwise. And I was ready, and it was clearly one of the biggest turning points, I think, in my professional career to do that.
Mm. Wow. And like you say, it's, you know, not that it was bad or wrong before. It was brilliant. You raised it's a multi-million-dollar business.
Absolutely.
But now it's moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
And
I think the staff, I mean, it's odd because I'm talking to you, you're part of staff, but this, you know, overwhelmingly the staff has come to me and they've noticed big shifts and changes already in terms of where we're going, what we're doing, how we're doing things. And what I realized is that by having a partner in Kim and doing the amount of travel that I was doing, it was so easy for me to just rely on him. And he was so good, and he's still a huge contributor to eWomen Network creatively and that kind of thing. And we're investors in Live Happy, and there's so much overlap, and we will continue to do that. And he's still a sounding board for me on so many levels. But what I can tell you is it's, you know, I abdicated instead of delegated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a big lesson. It's like he was there. I trusted him. I knew he had my back. So I was like, you got that? Go for it. And I didn't question as much. And now what I realize now is I'm questioning out of curiosity and things I believe have a little bit more of my fingerprint on them than I had previously just said, someone else has got it taken care of. I don't have to worry about it. And I'm kind of liking it.
Mm. And I'm liking it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, there is an energy, there's a buzz and that's going on, and there's this sense of moving forward and bigger. I mean, we had to do a lot of scrambling to throw in some new things, the live stream and just, you know, various newer things that weren't there before, and without Kim, and, we were used to him doing some things in foreign video and all this. So there was a lot of things we had to scramble to make happen. And then in retrospect, though, as you're an employee here, is that it's this feeling of accomplishment that we've started on something fresh and new and we're kind of in it together.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, just in closing, that working with you, and I never, it's like this weird, this funny thing. It's like I don't feel I work for you.
Right.
And I think you lay out that culture.
Yes.
I feel like I'm working with you to create something grand.
Yeah.
And even though it's grand, it's getting grander.
Right.
And you have this vision. And what I love about you is you say, okay, if this didn't work, let's try this. And you're always looking at different ways and different things to do and giving us, you know, that space to do it, and you trust. That's hard. I mean, that's hard for someone to do, to trust someone else.
Right.
Let go.
Right.
Of, you know, that, you know, entrepreneurs tend to be, you know, control freaks, but you're let go, and you make me feel, I feel respected and appreciated, and I'm not just saying that because you're here.
Right.
I really feel that way, and so it's been great for me, and it will be great for me, and I just so appreciate you and sharing this space with you.
Well, you know, we have three tenets here. You know, lift as you climb, you know, give first, share always, and takes teamwork to make the dream work. I mean, it really isn't about me. It's about we, and I don't think that you can, I really don't believe you can use that as your hanging principles, your hanging tenets that you serve your customer with and not reflect that on the inside. And I'm learning. I've never done this before. But what I've been really smart about with everything I do wrong and everything I don't know, what I am really smart about is surrounding myself with people way more competent than me in their areas of expertise, just like you. And that I'm smart about. I mean, we have those staff meetings, and I sometimes get there early. And as people walk in, I'm privately to myself going, yep, she's smarter than me. Yep, he's smarter than me. And I give my little self a pat on the back and whisper a few words of praise in my own ear around one thing that I know I do right. I've got a great team.
And we've got a great boss and a great leader, really.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. This has been such a treasure.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business.
Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.